Praise the Lord. I feel like preaching about the benefits of speaking with other tongues tonight. I'm not really going to do it, but I do have to tell you something pretty amazing. The service, whatever service I did that Wednesday, Sunday, whenever it was, about the, I think the title I put on it was Living in Ungodly Times. And after I got through with that message, somebody came up afterwards. In fact, there was two different ones come up to me afterwards and said, "Have you been listening to what Jim Martin's been teaching lately?" See, there's a third one, you know. And I said, "Well, I love listening to Jim Martin, but I just haven't had time." You know, those of you that are aware of our circumstances know we've been living in a hotel because they're working on our house. And, you know, we've been uprooted for a little while here. So, no, I haven't got to listen to any of them. And so one of them said, "If you ever have doubted whether praying in tongues will hook you up to the same teacher, you need to listen to these two messages by Jim Martin that he did." So I couldn't find them at his website, to be honest with you. They're available on the video section. And if you want to hear them, now I'm telling you, it is the same heart. It is the same scriptures. It is. Now he has two messages. I only had the one. His is more detailed and a lot of prophecy. You know how Jim is, you know. But I'm telling you, they are really something else. The first one he did on November 11th, 2012, it's called What Happened and What Is Next. The second one he did on the 18th, I think the following Sunday, and it's called Making It Through What's Next. And it's so amazing. It's the same, you know, Jeremiah 29, Jeremiah 28, Romans 13, 2 Timothy talking about making prayers for kings and authority. And I'm going, my God, anybody would think that we studied, you know, we collaborated to, you know, produce those. And we didn't talk to each other at all. I'm telling you, I've known for years that praying in other tongues hooks you up with the real teacher. You know, the example, I'll just give this one example. It's from Dave anyway, but he says you could take two preachers, two evangelists, two whatever, and they're going to go down the Amazon for 50 years. We're going to meet up 50 years later at the other end of the Amazon, and you're going to evangelize that side of the river. I'm going to evangelize this side, but we make this commitment. We're going to pray in tongues, zama zama hours a day, however, you know, 2 or 3 hours a day, whatever. 50 years later, when they meet up, if they really do that, they're going to have the same doctrines. They're going to understand the passages the same way because they listened to the same teacher. I mean, it's just incredible. I told Jim, I said, if I ever had any doubt, and I'm not sure I have for about 20 years, but if I ever had any doubt at all, they're gone now. But I highly recommend those two messages. They're much more detailed than mine. And the Lord gave him lots and lots of prophecy. That's just incredible. Yeah, those six instructions at the end, I was listening to them in the car, so I couldn't write anything down. So I'm going to go back and transcribe them also, because I know it's really important and not easy to do. Well, go ahead and open up somewhere. It's all good. How about John 14? And put a marker in John 8. I've been hearing something in my spirit rolling around here. And, you know, sometimes I don't do these for about 3 years, but I think we're going to weigh in on this one tonight. I will tell you this. I mean, if you know, I love doctrine. I really do. I want to know the truth. I feel like so much of my Christian life was wasted before we started coming here. And it was well-intentioned pastors. None of them intended to cause us any harm. They thought they were doing the right thing. They thought they were teaching the right thing. For the most part. Some of them were charlatans. Okay. Especially the TV ones. They know what they're doing. But most of them, I'm talking about the individual pastors, they did not. And they were teaching what they thought was the truth. But I've got to tell you, so much of it I found out once we came here and we really started hooking up with the Holy Ghost and began praying in other tongues. I mean, when I look back at how he began just dismantling so much false doctrine in me. You know, before you can build something, sometimes you got to tear what's there down. And he had to tear down all of this structure of false doctrine on the inside of me, especially in the arena of kingdom finances, and then start rebuilding it again from scratch because I had been taught wrong things. So I love doctrine. I love to know the truth. But I will tell you this. Doctrine alone is not enough. Jesus, knowing Him, and I mean daily, Him and Him alone, is the secret to living the Christian life. Doctrine is important. I've given my life to a large part for doctrine. You can have correct doctrine and be dry. Your life can be joyless. You have got to have an intimate relationship. He is the manna. He is your daily bread. He is your refreshing. You've got to have intimate fellowship with Him. Now, for example, look at John 14:6. One of my all-time favorite scriptures. Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Now I want to emphasize it a little different. Let's say it this way. Jesus says, I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. Got that? Now hold your place there. Just back up a little bit to John 8. And the real familiar verses. John 8, verses 31 and 32. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on Him, if you continue in My word, then are you My disciples indeed. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Now for years I didn't even really know what He was talking about there, because people, pastors, would take those verses out of context and they would preach on them. So, you know, you're free from condemnation, you're free from going to hell, you're free from lots of things, you know. They would preach, and I didn't, all of that was fine. They even have those words emblazoned in the, and when you come in the foyer of the CIA, I've seen it on TV, you know, the truth shall set you free, you know. But in context, you know, it wasn't until Dave taught us how to meditate the word in whole images, and I kept going down through here to find out what the context is, really what he was talking about. So let's keep going. Verse 33. They answered him, we be Abraham's seed and were never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou, you shall be made free? Jesus answered them, verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin. And the real Greek word there is doulos. It's slave. Well, slaves are not free. But he says, if you know the truth will make you free. Isn't that what it says? The truth will make you free. Free from what? Free from being a slave to sin. Well, I've known that part now for quite a few years, and he's taught me on that. And I've had some real good teaching, especially last year down in Florida and other places, about Jesus being the way, the truth, and the life. And I really understand in a much better way now how even the Old Testament saints like Samuel and Moses and David and people that really gave their whole lives to God, but when they died, because they died still having a sin nature, none of them could go into the presence of the Father. The Father's light. You know, even Moses wanted to see God. He said, well, you know, it'll consume you. You can't see My face and live. He says, I'll let you see My hinder parts, you know, put Him in the cleft of the rock. But they couldn't go into God's presence, even though they, like Samuel especially, the prophet Samuel, I mean, he's really, you don't find much wrong in Samuel's life, you know, but he could not go into the Father's presence. Why? Well, until Jesus accomplished His work on the cross, and until He was the quickened to new life and became that quickening Spirit, until that happened and they could be quickened to new life, only then. That's when He ascended on high and led captivity captive. Only then could He take all of those saints from Abraham's bosom directly into the presence of the Father. So I've known that, and I've taught that, and doctrine, it's good doctrine, okay? I go back here to chapter 8 again. I've understood for a long time, all right, what is the truth now? He says, make me free from what? Make me free from sin. That's good doctrine. Do you know you can know that and still struggle a lot with sin? I'm not looking at anybody. I'm not even seeing who's laughing. But we all know it's true. We all know it's true, see? So I've been hearing this phrase, when the Holy Ghost does this to you, it's one of His teaching methods. I keep hearing these two verses together, see? You shall know the truth. The truth will make you free. I am the truth. You shall know the truth. I am the truth. That word know there means it can be used in a lot of ways, but one of the way that word is used is the same one Adam, it's used with Adam when he knew his wife. Now, we're not getting weird. We're talking about an intimate relationship. More than a casual acquaintance. More than a doctrine. See, I think what happens is we hear a doctrine. Okay, I'm free now. I'm free. But then when you try and find the power to walk that way, you go, now, this feels like me again. This feels like how I failed the last 100 times. See, I can relate to this when it comes to the trying to quit smoking. I mean, I understood these doctrines then. And I couldn't find the power to do it. And a lot of people laugh, say, boy, you're just a wimp. Well, maybe so. You know, we'll talk about your victories later. I also made it through cancer, made it through a heart thing. You know, we'll talk about some stuff. It's just a good teaching tool for me because I knew that. But see, it wasn't until I had an encounter in my case. I had an encounter with the truth. He appeared to me. Now, and I don't mean it like that. I mean, I had a vision, and in the vision, the Lord talked to me. And I remember we were in White Plains, New York. It was, I remember the hotel room. I can just see the whole layout. Sue is one of those that has a bedroom and then a little couch and study area. So Sue was already in bed and had the door shut. And I was just up praying and seeking the Lord a little while. And just as plain as anything, He was there talking with me. And I won't go into that again, but the end result of it, what He said to me, because of my encounter with the truth Himself, my encounter with truth, not just a doctrine, when from that moment, I've never had another cigarette. And it's been like 10 years now. Okay? Was it hard? Were you instantly delivered? No. It wasn't at all like when He delivered me from alcohol. I had no withdrawals. I had horrible withdrawals with this. And it took a long time. But the end result, the power of the truth Himself, an intimate acquaintance with Him. And that's what this message does. And I like, how did Mark say that? It's not just this message. It's the Bible message. It's what the Bible teaches. When you spend time praying in other tongues, even though you've been here 20 years, you are building yourself up on your most holy faith. Through that process, you are keeping yourself in the love of God. We don't want to ever get so enlightened, doctrinally correct, pure in our thinking, that we let go of the basics that got you there. I plan on being praying in other tongues on my deathbed about 50 years from now. Or a long time from now. But it's our lifeline. I was watching the demonstration that Mark was doing this morning. See, I've lived that. He was showing how you get born again, and through this, I'm not going to try and get this morning's message, especially the video, if you can. It was really good. But with the rope thing, you know, you get born again, there's the plan of God, and you start, you know, if you yield to the Holy Spirit. I used to teach it this way, because in my experience, when I really came back to God, and we started hearing this message here, especially in 1992, we started coming to the prayer center. I'm telling you, it felt like whatever that plan was, that rope, I was about 42 miles away from it. But the way I understood what Dave was teaching, he's saying, now, if you just start letting the Holy Spirit pray for you, you just start letting Him pray, make intercession. He doesn't pray anything but the will of God. And he doesn't pray. He said one time, and he doesn't waste your time. He doesn't pray a lot of extraneous stuff. And right where you are, I don't care if, you know, maybe that green line right there represents the will of God, you know, for Gary's life. And here I am, I just hear the message and gee, maybe I should pray. I mean, it doesn't matter if I am 42 miles away from that, the plan of God. From the moment I begin praying in other tongues, he begins, Shandala Baku Sandala Bresto. I don't even know what's happening really, but in the spirit, he is moving my direction right towards the perfect plan of God. Well, then you get married, and hopefully to a Christian, you should not be unequally yoked, okay? Not on purpose, anyway. Well, now the two ropes become one. They were both walking individual paths, but there's a blending and a merging and a new path. But it's a blending. It was just so perfect. And anyway, get this morning's message. But praying, and I guess I am going to speak about praying in other tongues tonight. Don't let it slip. You know, it says, we should not let those things slip that have brought us to the place where we are. Where we have attained, let us therefore walk. Yes, sir. But I don't want to... This part about the truth will make you free. Jesus says, I am the truth. There is an intimacy still yet. I like Michael's here tonight. Michael, one of his favorite prayers is, Lord, don't let me leave my life for you today. Live your life through me today. See, that's what we're all after. I don't want to pray. I don't really like the little wristband that says, what would Jesus do? I want to change that to, what will he do today through me? If he has his way, wouldn't it be amazing what Jesus will do if he has his way with us? Well, who's going to get us from where we are to that? That's the Holy Ghost. That's the Holy Spirit. And he's the only one that's qualified to do it. One thing I know for sure, I mean, I'll be honest with you, I can worship in the flesh. Don't write me no letters. But I know it's true. I can be singing along with the songs and my mind to be on whatever, you know. It's hard to meditate. You know, you ever try and meditate when you're not really into it? You have to read the same page 16 times. But there's one thing that you can't do in the flesh, no matter who says you can, that's praying in other tongues. You're not originating the language. You're not even, with your mind, you're not even the author of what's being prayed. I mean, to me, it's ultimate yieldedness. Here is my life, Holy Spirit. Take it. Take it. Pray what I don't know. Pray what I'm afraid of. You know, if I knew where he's leading me, I probably wouldn't go there. Why do you think he had to take it away from our understanding? But see, even while you're praying that, he's also dealing with strongholds that would cause that fear, so that by the time you get there, you'll be free of that stronghold. I mean, praying in other tongues is just, to me, one of the most intimate things. I know that when... Okay, 1 Corinthians 14. You knew we had to go to 1 Corinthians 14. When I pray in an unknown tongue, it is my spirit doing the praying, but it's not my spirit creating the prayer. It's the Holy Spirit that's really creating the sentences. I'm allowing him to use my tongue to articulate the mind of Christ, the plan of God, however you want to put that, for my individual life, and really how my part fits with your part, since we're all part of one vision here. I was talking with Abby earlier. She's wondering about making a move, you know. Sue and I are wondering about making a move, not to another city, not us. House, different house. But I'll tell you right now, we don't want to be in any house but the one that fits his plan. You understand what I'm saying? I started off in a trailer house. I know how to live there. Now, Sue does not. Father, please. But look at this. 1 Corinthians 14, 14. If I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit prayeth, but my understanding is unfruitful. Well, sure, it's my spirit doing the praying, but where did he get that prayer? Well, now we're back to Romans 8. You know, we don't have to go there right now, but the Holy Spirit makes intercession for us with groanings that can't be uttered. Why? Because we know not what to pray for as we ought. That's the whole deal. If I knew the plan of God, I could pray it in English. But hardly any of us really knows the detailed plan of God. But the Holy Spirit does know that plan. So he, if you allow him, you talk about intimate. See, we're talking about intimacy. You'll know the truth and the truth will make you free. That he is the truth. Well, you talk about an intimate thing to do. Holy Spirit can't pray that prayer on earth without your tongue. And your spirit can't pray that prayer without the Holy Spirit's articulation. I said that pretty good. Now that's a union. That is a knowing. That is an intimacy that I know is spirit to spirit. My flesh is not involved unless I'm trying to do it for public show or something. But when you're just out in a cornfield by yourself or somewhere, you know, it's not for show or anything like that. I don't know of anything you can do that I know for sure is pure. Absolutely pure. Your spirit and the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit's not trying to run your life. He's trying to bring your life to Jesus. He's trying to bring us to the place where Jesus can live his life through us, basically, or live his plan through us. You're always going to have your personality. Dave still has his. I think that's the most obvious example. You know, one thing about Dave, if you hang around him very long, he will deliver you from religion. I've seen him. I mean, the anointing be so strong. People crying, weeping, breaking out. I mean, miracles. People splat on the floor and he'll stop and tell the corniest joke. Sue calls it a groaner. It's not a laugher. It's a groaner. It's, oh, you know. And then the very next person, miracles, you know. I mean, he'll set you free from religion. The Holy Ghost is not nearly as religious as we are. You'll know the truth. I am the truth. It keeps rolling over in me. A lot of Christians live joyless, dry. I'm not saying they're not going to heaven. You know, they may know doctrine really well, and I really believe in good doctrine. But their life on a daily basis, they're just making it through. And that's not the kind of life. My Bible says that real Christianity, the hallmarks of it, are righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. And I just got to tell you, most Christians I know, those are not the first hallmarks you think of. They worry a lot. Life is dry to them. They don't ever admit it, but, oh, is it Sunday again? Am I going to go to the... Now, some not. I'm not that way either. But, man, am I going to go to the 8:30 or just the 10:30 today? I mean, you know, they're already... Well, life, that's not the type of life he intended. And if that's you, we have good news. You can pray in other tongues. You can start an intimate... I'm telling you, I will promise you, if you will begin a regimen on purpose, a time, I don't care what time you start, I would like to see an hour a day, but whatever time you can offer to the Lord, if you offer that faithfully, you have set your path. You have set a path in front of you of adventure, a life of intimacy, where you're going to hear His voice, and His voice is going to scare the bejabbers out of you. He's going to ask you to do stuff that you'll go, I can't do that. He says, why do you think you have me? That's exactly it. He talks to you all the time, and it scares you half to death until you understand He's doing it with you. He needs you because you've got a body on earth. You can speak, you can pray. pray, you can give, you can touch, you can, you're the one with the body on planet Earth. We are His body. But He'll talk to you and ask you to do stuff that's way beyond. He'll scare you half to death. But then it gets not, I was talking to, who was I talking to today? You know, you face, we know, even these, all these years later, sometimes you face financial challenges or things, you know. And but then around on the other hand, I get to thinking, wait a minute, the last time I had a regular paycheck, in my case, was the spring of 1995. Now this is 2012, right at the end of 2012. Maybe He's faithful. Maybe I can count on Him. Maybe I don't have to worry. Maybe I can have a little peace, righteousness, and joy in the Holy Ghost. Well, how do you stay that way? I think a big part of it is praying in other tongues. I do believe in worship. I have never, confessed my sins one to another that we may be healed, you know, confess my faults. I've never done the hours a day thing like others have done here. I should. Can you also tell I haven't done a whole lot of the fasting? I should, but I can't tell you about those things because I haven't done them very much. But I've done a whale of a lot of meditation of the Word and praying in other tongues. And I can tell you, when I let those things slip, especially praying in other tongues, I let it slip for a while. Why do you let it slip? Why does anybody let it slip? It's Mark 4. It's not so much persecutions and afflictions, but it is the cares of this world. You just, the daily life beats it out of you. And you think, okay, I'll pray later. Well, why don't you pray now and eat later? Now, I got to eat. I got to tell you right now, I think praying is almost more important than eating. When I let my prayer life, when I let that go, pretty soon I become that dry branch again. And, you know, just going through the motions. Yes, sir. Now Dave says, and he's reminding me of this, it's why he's inner. He acts like it's his service, like he can take over, you know. But he's reminding me of those times. Dave says, if I want revelation knowledge, I pray in tongues. If I want anointing or presence, I think presence, if I want presence, then I spend time in worship. Well, all I can tell you is from my own experience, I also get presence from praying in other tongues. I have had encounters with the Lord. How many, see, I'm getting some other hands going up here. I have had visions and encounters with the Lord and times. Maybe I've just never pressed through enough in the worship to have that. But I know there is an intimacy in praying in other tongues. What else can you do that is pure spirit to spirit? God the Holy Ghost, let's say it this way, God the Holy Spirit communing with you, the real you, the reborn you, the God child you, and it is an intimacy about as close as you can get. God, the Holy Ghost, and God's child. Spending time together. Excuse me, I got to go pray. I preach myself into it. I'm telling you, I got to go pray in other tongues. See? Hallelujah. Yes, sir. Go back to John 14 for a minute. So I'm just going to put you in remembrance. I'm doing this because even though you know these things, you know, Peter said, even though I know you know these things, it's good that I put you in remembrance of them while I'm still in this body. Well, tonight is a refresher on praying in other tongues, and especially how that process is an intimate, it's a doorway into intimacy, into the plan of God like no other. If you want to know, yes, sir, okay, here's a little mini vision. How many of you would like it? I know you'd like it. If Jesus walked through the wall, walked right over, said, let me have your hand. And he says, now, for the rest of your life, every day, I want to tell you exactly what I want you to do. Would you like that? She's going, yes. You can't see her. She's going, yeah, I'd like that. Would we all like that? That's exactly the role of the Holy Ghost. That is exactly what he's here for. He has not left us orphans. That's one of the verses. That's one of the verses we're about to look at. He has not left us orphans, okay? So let's start here in John 14:16. I will pray the Father, he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth. Now see, isn't that interesting? They direct me to that verse. Here we have, you'll know the truth. The truth will make you free. You'll know the truth. Jesus says, I am the truth. But then who does he send us? The Spirit of truth. Well, how? How are you going to know him who is truth? I don't get to walk with him in the flesh like Peter and James and John. I don't get to, you know, not the same way they did. So how can I know him who is truth? Well, he sent me the Spirit of truth so I can know him who is truth. Man, that's good stuff right there. One time I was complaining like that. I said, God, it's just not fair. It's not fair, God. I said, Peter, he got to talk with you. I mean, if he had a question, he could just turn and ask you, and you would just tell him. And if he didn't know what you wanted him to do that day, he would just ask you, and you'd tell him. I said, God, it just doesn't seem fair. He had your literal presence, and I have this book. And I can't find the book of Gary in here. I've looked. There's no book of Gary, you know. I'm just whining. Don't ever have those days like this. Anyway, after I settled down a little bit, I heard him just as plain. He says, you have the same teacher as the Apostle Paul, who knew me better than the Apostle Peter. Because Paul had to correct him. Paul never walked with the physical Jesus, was never taught by him. Yet he says, I have seen him. Well, how did he see him? Same way we see him. Same way I saw him in White Plains that day. Same way you can see him, by way of the Spirit of truth, the Holy Ghost. And one way you can activate that process is pray in other tongues. Pray in other tongues. So, the Spirit of truth, verse 17, whom the world cannot receive because it sees him not, neither knows him, but you know him, for he dwells with you and shall be in you. Now come on down to verse 26 here. It says, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. Now, with that in mind, come on over to John 16. Look at verse 12. I always think of Peter. Of course, all the disciples are there. They've been following him for 3.5 years. We're almost to the cross here. 3.5 years, they've heard every message, they've heard every sermon. Plus, they've got to sit around the campfires at night in between villages, wherever they would stay. They would ask questions, he would talk with them. And after 3.5 years, what would you think? I mean, you've been able to ask him questions, he would do his best to explain it all this time. And then he says to you, verse 12, I have yet many things to say unto you, but you cannot bear them now. Can't you just see Peter? Wait a minute. What? You have many things yet to tell me? Speak on, Lord. Tell me. And he absolutely cannot. When he says you cannot bear them now, they had no capacity. You know, this is where we usually go to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. As long as they still have the spirit of the world in them, he has to talk with them in parables. He has to talk with them, bringing it down to a natural plane. They have no capacity to truly understand the things of God. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 will tell you that, but once you get born again, you don't have the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God. You have that new nature. Now you have the capacity to know the things that are freely given to you of God. He brought them as far as he could for spiritually dead men. But he says, now to take you on from here, you're going to get born again. They probably don't know that yet, but he knows it. You're going to get born again. Then you're going to have a different kind of teacher. This teacher is going to be able, he won't have to filter everything through your natural mind. using parables and natural examples. This teacher, he is going to be able to communicate spirit to reborn human spirit. Glory to God. So he says here, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he... In other words, Jesus, he said, he's going to guide you into all truth. In other words, Jesus has done his best with spiritually dead men to lead them into all the truth that he could. I brought you as far as I can. He has the capacity, because you're going to have the capacity, to. He's going to be able to take you into all truth. All truth. Oh my God. You shall know the what? You shall know the truth. And the truth will make you free. It dawned on me one day, I could memorize all the red letters in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. I could memorize it. Everything that Jesus taught. And I would be well educated for a spiritually dead man. Isn't that something? It dawned on me. Oh my God. Where that ends is where the Holy Spirit begins. And the Holy Spirit, He's the teacher of your new nature. But how does he do it? Have you noticed? See, what really gets me, and again, Michael is sitting here, and Michael did his best. He understood something. Michael Muccio is the guy that led me to the Lord. He's right over here. This is all his fault. If you don't like my teaching, write, Michael, what's your address? No, I won't do it. But he did his best. I mean, even in the early days, I wanted to go with him to the prisons, and he had a prison ministry at the time. He said, well, if you want to go with me on Thursdays, you got to come to my apartment and pray 2 hours in other tongues on Tuesdays. And I don't know how much he knew what was going on there. He knew it was God doing the praying. And he thought that would, you know. Well, that sounded easy. Pray 2 hours in other tongues. I thought, shoot, we'll knock that right out. Dear God. It's like the planet slowed down in its rotation. Time stood still. I mean, but who knows what all was being prayed during those 2 hours, week after week after week. You know, we got in a lot of prayer that way. Things would happen in the prisons, man. Eventually he moved on, got married and moved to a pastorate in Illinois, right? I don't know, Indiana. And soon I inherited the prison ministry. Well, it's a good thing I've been praying in tongues all the time. We did it for several years, you know, then I started driving the trucks, couldn't do it anymore. But anyway, I have many things yet to say unto you, but you cannot bear them now. Why? They're spiritually dead. But howbeit when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth, shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak. Boy, I didn't know what that meant for the longest time. I finally got it. He's not coming to speak to you on his own authority. He has not come. The Holy Spirit is not your Lord. He has not come to be your Lord. He has come to bring you the Lordship of Jesus. You want to know his plan for your life? Pray in other tongues. Spend time with the Holy Ghost. It's good to meditate the Word, but I'm telling you right now, there is no book of Gary. I have searched. I've had other people help me. There is no plan of Gary other than general things. I know general things, you know. But when it comes down to, well, what's your calling? What's God's plan? Where should you live? What should you do? You know, I can't find it in there. But there is a book of Gary, if you'll allow me. There is an exact plan, just like represented by that rope that was stretched out today. There is a plan. It's found one place only. That's in the mind of Christ. Well, how do I access that? He will not speak of himself. Whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak. The Holy Spirit, being omnipresent, is always with us, every individual person, and he's also always in the presence of the Father and the Son. He brings you the plan of God. That's how you have access to the mind of Christ. And you can know as perfectly as Paul, James, John, any of them, you can know the plan of God. Verse 14, he shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine and shall show it unto you. That's his whole ministry. But now notice this, all things that the Father has are mine. Therefore said I that he shall take of mine and shall show it unto you. That's what I was talking about earlier. When you really begin to hear him, And he shows you your part of Jesus' ministry. It's still Jesus' ministry. When he shows you your part, it'll scare the bejabbers off of you. You go, I can't do that. Well, you probably really hurt God. The ones I worry about, it's like, okay, he told me to do this and that. They can handle it. I'm not sure they heard God yet. They need to keep praying. Because when I hear him, it's like, what? you learn after a while, oh yeah, okay, yeah, he's not sending me in against giants by myself. He's going to do this. He just needs my cooperation. That's when you graduate to adventure. That's when life becomes exciting. No, there's no dry branch time. You're too busy praying for your life. No. Someone know what I'm talking about. It's like, oh God, oh God, oh God. But it's exciting and it's wonderful. And the best thing is stuff happens. I'm going to close with this. Last year at the, I don't want to name names or cities, but last year at the end of the conference that Jim Martin has at his church in April, on the way back, a friend of ours that we've known for years asked us to speak, Sue and I, and Richard and Hazel was with us also, at a little bitty church in a little bitty town in Illinois. And so, it was a little church, but it was pretty full. The church probably seated 120, and maybe we had 80 or 90 people there. I don't know. Well, here we go. Only got one night. Well, hey, I figured God didn't have me go there to preach some Sunday school class, you know. So, man, I'm teaching a very similar tonight. Power of praying in other tongues. You know, how the Holy Ghost is. I didn't even get to the orphan one. Anyway, he has not left us as orphans. He's given us this teacher, the Holy Spirit, who's sent to lead us and guide us in praying in other tongues. For an hour and a half. I'm just unloading everything about it. And at the end of the service, sure enough, one guy got saved. Four got filled with the Holy Ghost. We prayed for healings, you know. But I did notice about halfway through my service, there was about seven people that gathered up all their stuff and made a show of walking out. You know, they always had that same look. Their nose is about here. You know, making a show that they don't agree, you know. So I talked to my friend later about it. Because I already knew that probably some division came. He said, oh, it was great. He said, we've been going to that church for like 2 years. And it's nice. They have good worship. And they always have a good little sermon and everything. He says, but we've never seen one person saved. We've never seen anybody baptized in the Holy Ghost. Nobody ever got healed. He said, you guys show up. In the space of 2 hours, somebody got saved. Four people got filled. People got mad enough that they walked out. Some people got healed. It was great. He said, now the very next Sunday service, they passed out a tract called Tongues is of the Devil. I said, really? I haven't seen one of those since my early days. I was a youngster in a certain denomination. I haven't seen one of those since then. Stirred the devil up, you know? He said, oh, it's great. So we're going back this year. They're not letting us back in that church. So we're going to meet in the living room somewhere. Well, and I bet people get saved, get filled with the Holy Ghost, and get healed. See, who cares? It doesn't matter to me whether we're meeting a big church, little church, living room, garage, somewhere, just so long as it's God's plan. How does that stuff happen? Praying in other tongues. All right, my time is up.